David Ranicki is here pre-Christmas because, well, it's the time of year when, you know, we start thinking of that little red fat guy in the sky. And I hope you've been on Santa's good list, David.
Well, look, did you get my list?
I've been vetting it.
Out. Okay.
I didn't get underlined, so
no,
I'm not.
No, I sent quite a few out, and I have a few get replied to. Yeah, look, there's a lot of Santas out there, so my chances of coming up with something are pretty good, Booker.
Yeah, I think you've done very well, and the listeners want to acknowledge that you know you're the best thing for them. And
yeah, well, the best to everybody too, by the way.
Yes, of course. What is on your Christmas wish list, mate?
Well, I've got everything I need. I don't need all that much. I
just a space flight with Richard Branson. I hear he's about to go out there.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a trip to the States on next year, I'm pretty sure, Bilko. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, awesome.
Hopefully going over there and watching a launch of SpaceX or whatever. But Branson, yeah, has flown. The plane does fly, and they've got people ready to go in that. We're seeing the emergence now of space tourism, which is good. And I think, you know, I'll take a hat off this guy. He's really a hard tryer. And he does claim that he'll have at least paying passengers going up in space by no later than January, maybe February.
You're joking.
I think it's a bit early to try and expect it by Christmas this year. Though.
Yeah. So January, February, that's still, what, a matter of weeks. They must have people ready to go at least for a test phase.
He's got plenty of people. He's going to be the first passenger. You may see him only. But he did say his family were going along for the trip as well. It's not as dangerous as it would be if you're blasted off by SpaceX or Jeff Bezos. I mean, you're in the nose cone of a rocket.
No, thanks.
Yeah, no, this is carried up by a plane, Bilko, and you're dropped, and the rockets kick in, and the plane that's been modified for spaceflight just blast you up into space about 80 to 100K.
Yeah. I just hope we don't get to the point where Richard Branson's doing this once a month and people are like, oh, yeah, yawn, ho-hum. I want people to stay excited about space travel, not only because he's involved, but as you heard, and it's become big news in the last week, Adelaide is hosting Australia's first space agency. Now, you and I are disappointed it's not in our backyards, but Adelaide's pretty darn good.
Well, Queensland do have a launch facility. You've got Weipa up there. And
That's too far for me to go.
Well, it's still in Queensland. I mean, Queensland at least did get the nod. But look, South Australia had the best proposal, you know, for the headquarters there. The people who are really dirty on it are Canberra and Western Australia. They both put their dibs in as well. But Adelaide has got a history of space, Woomera, of course.
Yes.
A lot of people working in the space industry down there. Do I think it's a good move? Yeah, I do. I don't see any problem with it. So we're going to see a two-pronged attack here. We're going to see the headquarters based in Adelaide, and we're going to see the launch capability and the infrastructure and everything else based in Queensland. So we're in. The only disappointing part of me, or disappointing part for me, is that it's about 30 years too late.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because there's so many good jobs that can be obtained now in the space agency. But look, all power to Australia for doing it, and Scott Morrison for wanting to trump up Donald Trump, so to speak, because Donald's just not keen.
Yeah, let's not knock anybody, but the thing that really did pain me this morning was I was on an Adelaide station and they did say they were reading comments by Andy Thomas, our own homegrown astronaut who's now an expatriate living in Arizona, that he thought the thing was just a useless idea. Waste of time, stupid design. I'm really sad to hear that. I thought a bit more of him than that. I think anyone who knocks this is really just, you know, nitpicking. And somebody like him, you wouldn't expect those sort of comments to come from. I thought he would have been going home in favour of it, but that's changed my mind about
it. And look, good on Scott Morrison. I mean, I don't totally agree with his politics, but he's a man who's getting things done, and I appreciate that. Mm. Hey, and this is on your website, daverenicki.com. Now, my kids are really into this online gaming, and there's a great article about gaming, an enemy or an ally of education. Is it a two-pronged approach? Is there something that can be gained from gaming, or is it totally in the negative, mate?
No, it's not in the negative. You think it would be, but it's not. 91% of American kids play video games, so what else is new? Look, it's safe to say that they are influenced by what they watch. They do enact, to a degree, what they see. But gaming could also be a good way of learning because there's a big, big field out there called space. And even space games there, if they were tamed down and we weren't blowing everything up, you know, there's a good chance that they could be used as a learning facility. And I think, you know, there's a lot of a lot of opportunity out there that hasn't been fully explored yet.
I'm thinking if kids want to move into the space industry, then this is probably a good way to do it. Their computer dexterity, their way of thinking and all that. So,
I think it's a good article I've got there written by my overseas correspondent on that one.
Yeah, and you know what? Give the kids a go. Just keep the hours down. Don't let them stay there 12 hours a day, maybe a couple of hours here and there going on the outside. And one final thing, David, this has been a mystery for the US for a long time, but China are willing to brave the far side of the moon, the dark side?
Dark side. It sounds something
obvious. Great album.
When you say dark side, but it is a side we don't see. It doesn't mean that it's in darkness. It's only because we can't see it there, we assume. But look, the dark side of the moon, the opposite side of the moon, has not been explored one bit. We've gone all over this side, the side that we can see. But at least on Mars, we did go all around the planet. This one, we haven't done that. So the Chinese now have finally landed there. They've got a spacecraft ready to do its thing at the end of the month. We should see this thing get in there and really get in there and have a look at it. So there's a lot of water there at the South Pole down the Aiken Basin, which is where they're going to. And I think this is a prelude to a manned landing. I think you see China put people on the other side of the moon well within the next year or so.
And I know it's too late for Christmas to think about getting a telescope for your astronomy club, but they're willing to take on new members and willing to take on young kids all the time, David, in your experience?
Look, telescopes are something that, you know, people need to know a little bit about. If you don't know about something, get somebody who does, and that's where we come in. I've got a free service there for anyone who might want to buy a telescope and doesn't know where to go. Look, it's not all that difficult. Telescopes are made to a price now, not a quality. So just avoid buying anything under $250 if you want something serious. Watch out for the advertising on the box as well. They'll put big photos of Jupiter and Saturn on there. You won't see that. You won't see them that big, and the moon will come up nice in any telescope for sure. But make sure you're buying it for what you want to use it for. Some telescopes turn the image upside down. So some people, when they buy a telescope, try and use it in the daytime to do whale watching, find out that it's all higgly-biggly. So you need to get some advice from somebody. Also, be careful of department stores. We just say that department stores are good for a lot of things, but not for selling things like telescopes, because they don't know this particular product and they can't give you any good advice on it. Go to a camera shop or go to a telescope shop that does sell them and ask the people there who own the shop or work there, what's the best telescope for you? It's not difficult. There are not too many to choose from, but just keep in mind once again that price is the dictating point here. If you buy a cheap telescope, expect it to wobble in the breeze, which it will. You won't see anything of any size through the telescope, and it'll probably give you pretty fuzzy images. A lot of them aren't made with very good lenses.
Yeah, okay.
So under $250, nix. Department stores, nix. And and advertising on the box, just watch out for the hype, you know.
And your website, davidrenicki.com, has some good guides there, so just consult that. I've got it bookmarked up on our Facebook page, so you can check that out. David, all the best for you and yours for this fantastic time, and enjoy. Will you get a rest? That's the question.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a break over there, but we'll be back in the new year with you, and all the best for Christmas, New Year. Bill Coe to you and your listening audience. Good to be with you this 12 months.